We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. And I want to thank, again, our host this week, the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers, and especially my co-host, our litigation reporter, Mark Furman. Thank you, Mark.
Great to be with you.
Great. Our next guest, all the way from Providence, nice to see you, Kevin Murphy from KMB Law Offices.
KBM Law Offices. Or the Law Offices of Kevin B. Murphy and Associates.
Yeah, my producer reversed it, sorry.
No problem.
So welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
You know, you do a lot of things. You have a law firm. You also have businesses. Tell us a little bit about your background, maybe to start, so our listeners get a sense of the diversity of your interests.
Okay, great. I'm an attorney by trade, and I don't know, maybe the small percent of the population of attorneys sometimes step outside their comfort zone, and I founded, after working at Adler, Pollock & Sheehan in Providence, has offices in Providence and Boston. I was helping entrepreneurs and startups for a better part of my career there, and due to the nature of the way the firm was structured, it was very hard for Adler, Pollock & Sheehan to assist startups. I mean, the high billing rates, et cetera, which is quite common for a large law firm, they didn't have the flexibility to help startups. And so I was trying to meet with startups and kind of bring them along on my own time. And after a couple of years of that, my brothers and I were having a discussion regarding the state of the Rhode Island economy, and thought it'd be wise to start an entrepreneurial center because jobs weren't coming in. So we felt that we needed to actually create them and do something proactive. So my brothers and I started the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center in downtown Providence, right next to Providence Performing Arts Center. It's a bustling area. And, you know, as soon as we started that, I just became very attached to the concept. And I decided to leave Adler, Pollock & Sheehan and start my own law firm. So in a sense, I became a startup law firm for startups. And it was a great experience, very scary at first, to leave a large law firm and that security of that, and to start your own practice. But I felt very strongly about it, and with the support of friends and family and others, I was able to launch the law offices of Kevin B. Murphy as the anchor tenant of the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center. And since that time, which would have taken me back to July 1st, 2013, I've been helping entrepreneurs and startups ever since. So it's been a great experience, and being at the Entrepreneurial Center, I not only launched my own law practice there, but I also launched at least three or four businesses there, two of which I dissolved and two of which I still maintain. So, you know, I kind of live the life of an entrepreneur as well, and it's very hard. They say doctors make the worst patients, you know. So it's, I feel like I'm sometimes counseling myself, and it's very difficult to do and maintain objectivity, but I've been able to not only run a law practice and an entrepreneurial center, but also run two or three businesses that I formed since I began there.
What do you see as the biggest legal needs of startups and entrepreneurs?
Well, there are many legal needs. I think some of the biggest legal needs are, it really starts with picking up the phone, because sometimes entrepreneurs and startups don't even know what they don't know, and that's a problem. And I think they automatically feel that they're going to be charged immediately, and for, you know, a legal phone call, or, you know, call to an attorney, call to an accountant, things of that nature. So I really think knowledge is power, and I think that they have to really pick up the phone and make that initial phone call to professionals who are there to assist them, because a lot of startups and a lot of entrepreneurs that I see, and perhaps you too, they actually come to you after the fact. So they enter a contract, and it's, say, 1, 2, 3-year contract. And they sometimes don't even have a business plan. You know, and here they are, you know, either forming an entity that they shouldn't have formed, or entering a contract they shouldn't have entered. And there are things like that that I can head off at the pass, and really a lot of attorneys can. As long as they're front and center, a lot of attorneys can actually head that off. So meeting with that entrepreneur early stage, I think, is critical to an entrepreneur and his or her success. And then that
make sure they're on
to,
the right path.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Which actually reminds me of your book, and being the importance of being on the right path. And I try to educate entrepreneurs to don't worry about billable hours. Just call me. You know, 10 minutes with me can save you 5 hours of misery. You know, $500 with me can save you thousands of dollars later. So a lot of times that initial stage, and I think trying to kind of help them help themselves, or you know, just keep them out of trouble, I think is a key first step.
So I see entrepreneurs who come in to form an LLC or a corporation after they've already entered into contracts. Sometimes they'll use the name of the company they intend to form in the contract, even though the corporation or LLC doesn't exist.
Correct.
So one of the unforced errors that I see is people don't necessarily realize they will be personally liable if there's a problem with that agreement, if they haven't set up their entity before they sign these agreements.
That's just right.
One example of a, I think of them as unforced errors based upon inexperienced,
right,
in a way, things that are totally preventable.
Right.
You know?
No, you're 100% right. Yeah, I like the term unforced errors, and you know, sometimes they don't know what they don't know, as we've said. And you know, I think I'm glad you mentioned that point, because you know, I'm smiling ear to ear. I see it all the time. You know, it's whether you're in Providence, Boston, or you know, Wichita. You know, it's just these problems are problems that every entrepreneur faces, and he or she is wise to, you know, like you said, pick up the phone and just make that initial call. They can save themselves a lot of trouble. You bring up an interesting point with regard to entering a contract, right? You know, I will meet with entrepreneurs. In some cases, they've formed an entity. I had one, I won't mention any client names. I had one client in Providence, and she has a bakery. And she formed the entity in Nevada because she called a LegalZoom type, you know, service, and then formed the entity, two entities in Nevada, and then started entering contracts with a Nevada entity in Rhode Island, which is fine legally, but why Nevada? So her response was, well, because they said that was a good idea. You know, and I'm thinking, you're domesticated in Providence. You run your business in Providence, and you have not only one entity in Nevada, but two entities in Nevada. So I had to kind of take a step back and pull back some of the layers of onion here and say, okay, first of all, let's actually dissolve one of the entities in Nevada. Let's convert the other one to Rhode Island and re-domesticate in Rhode Island. And then we can start to talk about some of the contracts that you'll be entering in the future. So, you know, it's the things that you see, you know, for an attorney blow your mind. But for the average person just wanting to get it done, they pick up the phone and try to do it cheaply or quickly. And oftentimes haste makes waste.
I don't need a lawyer. I didn't think I needed a lawyer, I hear, because the other side just had their lawyer write the agreement.
Right.
Ouch.
Yeah.
As though it's all boilerplate, right?
Right.
So, you know, that's one of the unfortunate circumstances. I was hired to try a case for some investors in a company where, you know, they each put in a low six-figure amount for stock in this entity, but they didn't have, there was a deferred payment to be made,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't have a lawyer review the agreement. So the plaintiff, who is the seller, has sued everybody individually, the individual shareholders, investors personally, for this deferred payment of $1,750,000, which had interest running on it for a considerable amount of time. No lawyer. And they assumed that only the entity was responsible, And we certainly say only the entity was responsible.
Right.
But the plaintiff has a different story, and that case is going to be tried in 2017.
Right. I bet they wish they called you.
I mean, a lot of things are just unforced errors. Trying to save a few thousand dollars, and these mistakes can be very costly, particularly when they end up in litigation.
Right.
Or the people who take prior agreements, cut and paste paragraphs from them, and do these handyman specials.
Right.
And the agreements are messed up.
Right, right. Yeah,
you know,
don't
my
understand.
Favorite one is having one agreement subject to arbitration in Atlanta, Georgia, or another agreement subject to arbitration in Boston, another part of the deal subject to being decided in an out-of-state county court, and the rest of the agreement being decided, any disputes being decided in the state or federal courts of a particular town in Massachusetts that have neither a state nor federal court. So it created a legal mushroom cloud of really craziness and unnecessary expense.
Sure.
Had the deal documents been properly done.
Right. No question. And sometimes just the common man would enter something like that and say, well, you know, I grabbed some provisions from my brother's contract. That seemed to work well for him for years. And then I grabbed a boilerplate language from LegalZoom. And then I went on the website, you know, and checked out a privacy policy for another entity. And I borrowed that. So it just becomes this, it's cobbled together. And it just becomes, as you said, it becomes a mess in terms of interpretation. And where do you go from there, you know? So no, you see these things all the time, and I mean you can go on and on with the number of examples. Another example is people come to me with patent ideas, and I okay, well, why don't you come to my office and we can review your invention? And so, well, first of all, some bring the invention, some don't. So right off the bat, let's just talk about the people who actually bring the invention. You know, I talk to them, and I'm not a patent attorney, but I know enough where I can co-counsel with some major firms in Providence and or Boston, and we can come up with a solution. But, you know, when they do bring the invention, you kind of say to them, all right, what is your, that's congratulations that you have this and you feel it's patentable. Let's talk to a patent attorney because he or she would be an expert in that field. I'm intellectual property, but I don't practice patent law. So once we determine it's patentable, what are you going to do with this product? You're going to spend $20,000 to $30,000 on a patent. Do you have a business plan? Do you have any plan to sell this widget? And do you have any idea how many widgets you intend to sell per year? And then it's almost, they look at you as if it's the first time they've been asked a question. You know, so a lot of it, the legal is very important, but the business is just as important. You know, you have to have a business plan or business model to even determine whether it makes sense to form an entity, to make sure it makes sense to enter a contract, to make sure it makes sense to, you know, actually patent an idea or an invention. And so a lot of times I think with a lawyer's mindset, you can ask those important questions and you can force them to think about the important answers. And right there, a 30-minute meeting or a one-hour meeting can actually save them months of time or thousands or tens of thousands. So I think I think that lawyer's mindset, I think, helps a lot in almost every case, but particularly entrepreneurs, because they could be very passionate, very headstrong, you know, and I see it every day at the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center where the people are so passionate, headstrong, they really kind of lose sight of the forest for the trees. I don't know if you've had any experience with that.
Yes, absolutely. How many folks are working out of the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center?
There are two floors to the Entrepreneurial Center. The first floor, which is actually located above Home Loan Investment Bank bank branch, it's the second floor of the building. That is the entrepreneurial suites. It's comprised of five suites. My law firm is the first suite.
Okay.
You know, I was the anchor tenant in July, and then I did all the tenant fit outs for all of the other tenants on the second floor. And while I was fitting out the building on the second floor for the more traditional entrepreneurial suites. We were also fitting out the third floor, which became a wide open co-working space.
Great.
So yeah, so
sounds
about 20
like an
members.
Exciting place.
Yeah, about 20 members on the third floor in the wide open space, and then I'd say about 15 tenants within those five suites on the second floor. So it's a pretty vibrant place.
Kevin, if someone wants to reach out to you for any of your services, for Hatch, for the bank, for anything that you're doing in Providence, how would they find you?
Sure. I'll give you my numbers and my email. My phone number for the firm is 401-432-7000, and my cell number is 401-578-6462. I'm often on the road, as you can see. I left Providence to be in Boston today, so I'm often on the road. Sometimes my cell phone is best, otherwise my paralegal would answer. And then lastly, my email. It's K as in Kevin, M-U-R-P-H-Y as in Murphy, at K as in Kevin, B as in boy, M as in Murphy, lawoffices.com.
Great. Thanks for being on the show again today, and we look forward to seeing you again in Providence.
Excellent. Thank you both.
I want to thank Mark Furman and the law firm from Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, my co-host, for that segment. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more stories after these messages.